What happens when the nation claiming to defend democracy worldwide systematically undermines it at home and abroad? This question cuts to the heart of a profound contradiction. The United States, while condemning failed states that can't protect citizens, disregard international law, and hollow out democratic institutions, exhibits these exact characteristics itself. Since 2001, America has claimed the right to wage preventive war anywhere, anytime, answerable to no authority, a doctrine that fundamentally destabilizes global security. This isn't partisan criticism, but documented reality, backed by declassified memos, intelligence assessments, and the testimony of those inside the system. The gap between America's noble rhetoric and brutal actions reveals something deeper than hypocrisy. It exposes how power operates when freed from accountability, and why understanding this matters for everyone living under its shadow. We're closer to annihilation than most realize. In 1962, Soviet submarine commander Vasily Arkhipov refused orders to launch nuclear torpedoes during the Cuban Missile Crisis, single-handedly preventing World War III. In 1983, Stanislav Petrov dismissed computer warnings of an American nuclear attack as false alarms, correctly. These near misses happen more often than we know. Thousands of warheads remain on hair trigger alert, ready to launch within minutes based on potentially faulty systems. Robert McNamara later called this immoral, illegal, militarily unnecessary, and dreadfully dangerous. American military expansion, missile defense systems, space weaponization, and conventional forces near Russian borders creates a predictable action-reaction cycle. When America pursues total security through military dominance, it generates profound insecurity for others, triggering arms races that threaten everyone. The pursuit of absolute safety, paradoxically, creates absolute danger. In 1976, Cuban Flight 455 exploded after takeoff, killing all 73 aboard. Evidence pointed to Luis Posada Carriles, a CIA-trained operative who lived freely in Miami under U.S. protection, even receiving a presidential pardon. Meanwhile, America demands other nations extradite suspected terrorists and wages wars against terrorism abroad. This double standard, their terror is evil while ours doesn't exist or is justified, permeates American foreign policy. The 1980s Nicaragua War exemplifies this. The U.S. mined harbors, armed contra forces targeting civilians, and rejected world court jurisdiction when condemned. Yet Washington positioned itself as the world's leading terrorism opponent. The principle of universality, applying to ourselves the standards we demand of others, is routinely abandoned. This selective blindness pervades media coverage that humanizes some victims while rendering others invisible. National exceptionalism isn't uniquely American. Japan's Emperor Hirohito claimed his invasion served stabilization of East Asia. Nazi philosopher Heidegger depicted German expansion as defending civilization. John Stuart Mill portrayed England as selflessly serving humanity despite knowing Britain's brutal colonization of India. American exceptionalism follows this pattern, educated classes endorsing high-minded principles while ignoring contradictory actions, enabling interventions framed as humanitarian missions. The Iraq War exemplifies democratic manipulation into supporting aggression. The Bush administration's justification, that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, proved entirely false. This was an honest mistake. John Prato's documented patently untrue public statements and egregious manipulation of intelligence, revealing officials knew Iraqi WMD programs were either nascent, morbid, or non-existent. The leaked Downing Street memos exposed premeditation. By July 2002, Bush had committed to war, months before seeking congressional approval. Most damning, while war officially began in March 2003, U.S. and U.K. forces had been conducting an escalating bombing campaign since May 2002, flying nearly 22,000 sorties before formal declaration. Intelligence agencies warned invasion would increase terrorism. By 2005, CIA assessments confirmed Iraq had become a magnet for Islamic militants and an even more effective training ground than Afghanistan. The war created precisely the terrorist haven it supposedly aimed to prevent, destabilizing the region and creating conditions for ISIS's rise. In 2002, White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez presented legal memoranda redefining torture to include only pain equivalent in intensity to organ failure, impairment of bodily function, or even death, effectively legitimizing brutal interrogation techniques. He advised President Bush to declare the Geneva Conventions quaint and obsolete, primarily to avoid prosecution under the War Crimes Act. Law professor Jordan Post noted that not since the Nazi era have so many lawyers been so clearly involved in international crimes. The 2004 Fallujah assault demonstrated these policies in practice. U.S. forces evacuated civilians through bombardment while trapping males aged 15 to 45 at checkpoints. They attacked Fallujah General Hospital first, restraining medical staff and patients in direct violation of Geneva protections. UN Special Rapporteur John Ziegler accused US-UK forces of using hunger and deprivation of water as a weapon of war. These systematic policies transformed America into what philosopher John Rawls defined as an outlaw state. Democracy promotion has supposedly been central to U.S. foreign policy since Woodrow Wilson, but evidence tells a different story. In Iraq, occupation authorities worked assiduously to avert the threat of democracy, until Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani forced elections through massive demonstrations. Even then, occupiers tried subverting the process by advantaging their candidate Iyad Alawi, who received just 12% of votes. After elections, U.S. and U.K. leaders refused withdrawal timetables despite 82% of Sunnis and 69% of Shiites favoring it. Palestine reveals the same pattern. Elections are acceptable only when producing desired outcomes. After blocking Palestinian elections for years, Washington suddenly embraced them after Arafat's 2004 death, but threatened disruption if Hamas participated. The hypocrisy is stark. Arafat had been democratically elected in 1996, but when he fell from favor, those elections were retrospectively delegitimized. Bush endorsed his imprisonment while demanding replacement by Abbas, who does not have a popular following. This pattern extends throughout the Middle East and Latin America. Independent nationalism is the real enemy, particularly when it threatens to become what Kissinger called a contagious example. This explains the first 9/11, September 11, 1973, when, after years of U.S. subversion, Pinochet's forces killed Salvador Allende, demolishing Latin America's oldest democracy. Indigenous populations across Latin America are gaining influence, particularly in energy-rich Bolivia and Ecuador. Economic integration is reversing colonial patterns through South-South cooperation and global justice movements. Venezuela's Mercosur membership marked a milestone, helping Argentina during its energy crisis and purchasing its debt as part of region-wide efforts to escape IMF control. Bolivia's first indigenous president, Evo Morales, partnered with Venezuela to reverse neoliberal policies. Military coups and international terrorism to overthrow elected governments face new obstacles, as the failed 2002 Venezuela coup demonstrated. In Iraq, mass nonviolent resistance forced Washington and London to permit elections they'd tried to avoid. Simple American policy reforms include accepting international criminal court jurisdiction, implementing Kyoto protocols, letting the UN lead international crises, using diplomacy over military force, and cutting military spending while increasing social spending. These conservative suggestions reflect majority American opinion, yet remain in radical opposition to actual policy. Though doctrinal systems induce pessimism, substantial progress toward justice and freedom has occurred. Rights require dedicated engagement to create a functioning democratic culture where the public determines policies. The choice is immediate. Continue accepting the gap between rhetoric and reality, or demand alignment between professed values and actual policies.